Right, there's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek. I'm your host, John, and this is officially our final director's podcast for the 40 Days of Dragon Con. Officially, it's not the one that was like three, four episodes ago where I thought I was done, but I got sucked back in. This is the official one. And the beautiful voice you hear on the other line, I guess, is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Are you sure? Now, are you really sure this is our last one? You're sure? Because you're not going to interview me. Nobody else is going to pop up. You're sure this is it?
I think this. Oh, interview you. Yeah. Hey, so what do you got on your track?
I'm too tired. Don't worry about it, man. Let's talk to other people. Just come see me at my track. I'm in the Marriott. Find me.
Yeah,
awesome.
Well, let's go ahead.
106 and 107.
106 and 107. It's called Maine, which is very confusing because every time I look at it, I think Maine programming, but no, it's actually the room Maine,
it's not even Maine. It's just M.
Well, if you look
for
at the
but
schedule grid,
pocket program. Yeah,
it says Maine.
I don't know why it says Maine, because I'm in some Maine programming where some of my big rooms go to, like, the big ballrooms. But no, M usually stands for mezzanine in the Marriott on that level.
Well, all I can tell you is that I saw it as Maine, and it just confused me.
You're just tired. You're just tired. It's 3 days, John. Three days.
So, of course,
it's really only 2 days until people will be down there and getting badges and things.
Yes.
For those who have pre-registered.
This is true.
Awesome.
Now, if Lee sounds slightly different, it's because she's trying to, and she shouldn't be doing this, but how can she miss the last one?
I couldn't miss the last one. I couldn't miss the last one. So
she's driving on her way to win brownie points from her mom. So,
yes.
So she's, if we hear a loud crash, hopefully we don't.
No crashes. I'm on an interstate again. It's all good. We're fine. Don't worry.
All right.
We're all good.
Okay.
All right. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go. This is awesome. We're ready to do it. We're almost there. But people, please God, check the Daily Dragon. If you're on Twitter, follow Daily Dragon on Twitter. If, you know, pick up those Daily Dragons. They'll be all over the place because there will be changes. Watch the late show on Dragon Con TV at 9 a.m. every morning or 8:30 a.m., whatever time that is. Brian will be very mad. I don't know. But do that because we will have changes through con that, you know, just happen. I have a guest who's not able to stay all 4 days because he got work. So, yay, good for him.
Yeah, so
check that Daily Dragon and know what's going on.
Yeah, and there's already rumors flying around the Twitterverse on various guests, and as any of the directors will tell you, nothing is official until Dragon Con makes it official. So Daily
that
Dragon
is exactly correct. True. So watch. I mean, I can tell you that they're doing a Daily Dragon online right now. You can get to it from the main Dragon Con page. It's in the media section, and if there are changes, cancellations, updates to programs, I've had a couple of panels already change, just because, you know, things happen. I've added a couple of guests who went, oh, I could do that too. So it's very good. But if there's anything official about somebody coming or not coming or anything else, it'll be online. Go look. We promise.
Cool. And, a couple of quick, things to remind people of if you're looking for. Of course, Lee is going to be in M106 and 07, or is it 05 and 06?
106 and 107, and that's at the Marriott.
At the Marriott. And we've got, if you're looking for myself, I'll actually be on a panel for Lee on Friday night at
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Yep. Woohoo!
But also, I'll be over at the We'll either be at the Nuts on the Road panel show filming stuff, and also at the Fun Fest filming stuff. So either of those things. The Fun Fest is the panel show is Saturday night, and Fun Fest is Sunday.
The Fun Fest is Sunday night. That's right. The panel show, I want to say, starts at 11. Don't hold me to that, please. But I do know the Fun Fest starts at 9 on Sunday.
And I think the panel show starts at 9 as well.
Does it start at 9?
It is listed as a 5.5-hour show.
It is 5.5 hours. That's what Ken has it planned for right now.
I think it's
he will have lots of fun, so help him.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go the whole 5 hours, though. I think it'll probably go 3, I'm going to think.
Well, we'll see. It's Ken. I don't put anything past him.
You know,
Sorry.
Hold on, I'm doing a ham-fisted transition again. So, you know, just really, okay. We're almost there, so let the games begin. Huh? See what I did there?
Ah, there you go. You did good. So we want to introduce Kevin, who directs the MMORPG track, which I've heard people call Mamorph, but I don't know if that's actually really true or not. So, Kevin, how should you say that?
Well, I think my favorite is when Yahtzee over on Zero Punctuation calls it a Mamorpaga. With his British accent.
I like it. That's good.
We just go with MMO for short.
MMO, there we go.
And of course,
stands for Many Men Online Role Playing Girls.
I had never actually heard that before.
No. I like that. Oh, that would be like an awesome t-shirt, man. So that's great. So what is the MMORPG, MMO track? What do you guys do?
It really does stand for Massively Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Game, and easiest example of one to pick out is World of Warcraft. If you've played World of Warcraft, you're playing an MMO, and there are hundreds, literally, of games similar to World of Warcraft, so we cover all things MMO.
How far back on MMO do you go? Because, I mean, my particular experience, I started off with the Ultima Online way back when, and then...
That would be the first really mainstream title. I mean, back when Origin was Origin. But the first real 3D MMO was a game called Meridian 59, which, ironically enough, one of our guests this year, Brian Green, was a longtime developer for Meridian 59 until he shut down Near Death Studios, I think, last year. So the game had a good 13, 14-year run.
Wow.
But he comes to Dragon Con every year and basically discusses how to design games and things you need to remember when you're developing a game, and has a lot of insight into MMO design and how it's done. So we put him on a lot of our panels with folks from Sony Online Entertainment and Cartoon Network and a bunch of other companies who help us out at Dragon Con every year.
Now, how long has your track been around?
Officially, this is our third year.
Okay.
And I say officially because unofficially, we had done some MMO panels as part of the EFF track
going 10
years ago now. In fact, that's kind of how I walked into this gig, so to speak, but that's a story I'll tell in a little bit. But we were part of the EFF track, and then we were part of the game programming track, which Jeff Kars had run until last year. And then about 3 years ago, Dave Cody decided to spin us off and let us do our own thing.
Well, now, and you are, okay, so this isn't actually playing the games. It's not playing the MMO games. It's actually talking about them. Or do you do both?
Well, we're a goofy hybrid because while we're technically part of gaming and I belong to Dave Cody's organization, we're more of a programming track along the lines of Buffy or any of the other fan tracks you see throughout Dragon Con. Is that we do fan run events. Not a lot of people come in to play our games because honestly, you can do that at a laptop at a Starbucks. What you want to do is meet other players face to face and have little get togethers and meet and greets and meet the people who develop the games. And we try to promote more of a social aspect of it because, you know, if we wanted to play games, we could do that at home. You know,
yeah.
I don't mean to sound glib, but that's, you know, we want to meet the people behind the keyboard, so to speak.
No, that's good. So I saw something because I was looking at the Daily Dragon today, which was you're doing something on MMOs and legal issues.
Legal issues and MMO gaming. Yeah, that's been a popular panel of ours, even though we give it the absolute worst time slot you can imagine, 10 o'clock Monday morning.
Woohoo!
But one of our Eternal members, Tom Mihill, happens to be a lawyer who deals with online gaming and related issues, and he's written several papers and articles and things like that. So he comes down and he hosts the panel for us, where we answer questions like, can in-game items be taxed? If a player in California rips off a player in Australia, who can sue who and who's responsible and why and that sort of thing? It opens a big can of worms, and usually when we get the discussion going, it gets pretty bloodthirsty because there's a lot of passion on lots of sides of lots of issues.
Interesting. That is really interesting. So what are some of the panel topics you're doing this year? I mean, just some random ones that, like...
Well, we have on Friday, we're doing a lot of our what we call roundtable events. We have one called Breaking Into the MMO Industries for folks. You know, they say they want to be a game developer. They want to learn how to write games, or they want to work for a gaming company. Or you bring in some folks from game companies and say, this is the experience you need. These are the things you need to know. There's the programming skills, or the art design skills, or the sound editing skills, or whatever skills you need to have if you want to get into this business. Wendy Rutherford up at Cartoon Network helps us put together that panel. Cartoon Network does a game called Fusion Fall. And so that's how they got into the MMO space. And she puts together a lot of these roundtables, pulls together people from Sony and Hi-Rez Studios and a lot of the other producers and developers that come down to Dragon Con every year. And we just pick their brains for an hour.
Well, so I have an 11-year-old and he is playing, I'm going to say this probably wrong, Ebony. Would that be considered an MMO?
Not really. Although we have we have covered Ebony or Evony. We have that
Evony,
on the podcast
that
my co-host and I do. We have trouble pronouncing that name a lot too, so that's why I kind of laugh.
Okay.
It's kind of an example. The thing about MMOs is it's really nebulous. For years, it was kind of based on the old Muds and Mushes model, where it was Dungeons and Dragons with multiple people playing online at the same time. At the really most fundamental level, that was kind of the prototype MMORPG. Well, then you expand in the first-person shooter genre. If you're playing a game like Quake, for example, and you've got 100 people online at the same time playing on the same map, that would be an example of a massive-scale game. So the genre's really expanded out of the swords and sorcery to pretty much any topic you could conceivably imagine. There's probably an MMO for it somewhere.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
Well, let's...
He's starting to take his first steps into gaming. He's doing D&D. He's doing D&D online and in-person gaming, and then some of the other games now. He's slowly coming into that part of his geekdom. So we're very proud and happy that, you know, he's coming into that part of his geekdom. It's good.
I tell you, there's a panel that I believe it's... Let me pull up my schedule real quick so I know exactly what time to tell you, because I would hate to get wrong information. But you said he was 11. On Friday at 2:30 in the Savannah room, Friday at 1 o'clock in the Savannah room, we're doing a panel on kid-friendly MMOs. Crystal Vakes, who's a columnist for Massively.com, she's also one of my staffers, basically has put together a collection of trailers and information and even demos and samples of various kid-friendly games out there, such as Lego Universe Online or Free Realms, or she's got a huge list.
So Friday at 1. Ooh, sounds good.
Friday at 1.
Well, let me take a step back here and actually ask you, what was your first Dragon Con experience? When did you first start coming to Dragon Con? How did you wind up becoming a director?
Well, let's see. I started coming to Dragon Con, I guess, in the mid to late 90s, 98, 97, 98, somewhere in that time frame, just as a fan. Had a lot of fun with it. And I think it was back in either 2001 or 2002, I was sitting in on an EverQuest panel, which is part of the EFF track at that time. And at the time, I happened to be a guide a guide in EverQuest is kind of an unpaid customer service rep. Basically, I was able to help other players using tools that weren't available to the general public. Right. But my only compensation is that I got to play for free.
Mm-hmm.
And I was... At the time, they had a rule about not advertising that you were in the guide program. But what wound up happening is that all these people got up and started talking about EverQuest, and here I was, a subject matter expert, And I'm sitting out there, and I wound up answering more questions than the panel could, because people started, you know, they had questions that the panelists couldn't necessarily answer. And one of the panelists got frustrated and decided to hand me a mic and said, well, why don't you just get up here and answer the questions since you seem to know it all? I thought he was kind of trying to put me in my place, and I realized he was an old friend of mine from high school that I hadn't seen in about 15 years. And he was doing it to have a little fun with me. And they asked me to come back the next year as part of the panel, and the year after that, and the next thing you know, I'd been doing the EQ panel for 4 years, and I got reintroduced to the senior director of gaming, who's Dave Cody, and turns out he and I knew each other from college way back, and he said, well, hey, you want to do some more MMO-related stuff? You got World of Warcraft and a bunch of other things coming out, and it just kind of snowballed, and 3 years ago, they said, well, okay, you're big enough now. You know, I was doing 20 panels for somebody else's track, and they said, well, why don't we just give
you
a
phone?
Yeah. That's kind of how that happened.
Oh, very cool.
But yeah, I literally got yanked out of the crowd because somebody recognized me from high school.
Cool. So now, we kind of talked about some of the panels you're doing, but what guests do you have this year?
Well, you know, last year our big guest was Felicia Day from the Guild. And I know she does Buffy and a bunch of other things, but to us, she's Felicia Day from the Guild. This year, we got her co-stars, Jeff Lewis and Sandeep Parikh, who play Vork and Zabu on the Guild, and they're doing some Q&A panels with us and some screenings of Season 4 and some other various social events. Those are probably our biggest name guests, but the folks we have come in year after year, we have the folks from Artix Entertainment who do a game called AQ Worlds, and Voltaire usually winds up playing their party every year and turns into a big to-do. Sony Online Entertainment's joining us again this year, and I think they've been coming for 8 or 9 straight years now. Hi-Rez Studios, Funcom, bunch of folks who have been supporting us through the years, game companies and game developers, a really long list. But as far as actual celebrities, I think our headliners are Jeff and Sandeep this year.
Well, I think you're also talking to another track director who was like, yeah, my definition of a celebrity or a star is very different than the track ones. And I'm like, okay. And they were like, yeah, we'd love to have, you know, if we have an author who's done this nonfiction, we consider, I'm like, I gotcha. There you go. So, yeah, you just have a different level of celebrity or guest that, you know, that maybe.
That's really the thing about DragonCon is you go reading through some, you know, through other fandoms. Like, I can read through, you know, Silk Road or whoever, and I look at their guest list and go, I don't know who any of these people are. I've never heard of them.
I don't know those people. Yeah, right. No idea. No. That's cool, though. Have fun.
Yeah, it's half the fun. Now, the thing about The Guild, and it's a web series, you know, watchtheguild.com, you know, Will Wheaton's in it, and some celebrities make some appearances on the show, and people know character names a lot more than they know the actors' names. Like, if I said Vork and Zabu, the average MMO fan would go, oh, yeah, I know exactly who that is. But if I say Jeff and Sandeep, they kind of give you a blank look.
Yeah, which one are those? There you go.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, that's kind of MMOs in a nutshell. You know your online name more than most people know your
name. Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking is that isn't that, you know, a lot of us on our online persona or whatever, you know that name more than... You know, when you have friends and you meet them from being online to in person, you use that name. I have friends who I've known online for years, and I actually have to remember. And now they're real friends, and I'm like, I got to remember. I don't call them Spanky or whatever nickname they have online because that's not what they go by. So you're like, okay, got it. So, yeah,
well,
that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, in my case, you know, I kind of interchange between Grim and Kevin. I answer to both just because – I've been called Grim or some variant thereof for so many years, it's just second nature. So if you hear people say Grim and you hear people say Kevin, they're talking about the same person. It's just,
Oh, good to know. So there you go. Yay. Okay.
So,
all right, your turn, John.
Oh, I was just going to ask. So, let me ask you now. I know we ask all the directors this, but it's really difficult to get out of your room at any one given point. By the way, where is your room?
We're in the Savannah room at the Sheraton this year. Last 2 years, we were in Athens and Augusta rooms. We traded places with the Trek Track. So the Savannah room is where Trek Track was last year, which is over by the elevators in the Sheraton.
Okay. But if you can, who is it that you're looking forward to seeing? If you can get out of your track track room, who would you like to see that's coming to the con this year?
Adam Savage. Nice. Mythbusters is one of my favorite shows, and I am really, really, really upset that Adam Savage is hosting a game show at the same time we're having our track party. I have to be at my own party, and I'm missing Adam Savage. But he's definitely the guy I would queue up to see.
Which game show is that he's hosting?
It's the Saturday night event, where they call it like Geeks on the Road or something. Nerds on the Road, something
Nuts
like that.
On the Road. Nuts on the Road. He's headlining part of Nuts on the Road. His name is listed in the program.
That's what I was just, as we were talking at the very beginning, that's who I was referring to. That's where I'll be doing filming and whatnot.
I'm really disappointed.
John will be the person, taping.
Yeah, if you didn't see it last year, you can find it up on, if they would let me release the video from last year. They did the panel show last year, too, and he did this Ken and Widge basically made him defend the existence of UFOs as part of...
Ken and Widge can bite me for that question, but that's a totally other issue.
But he made King Skeptic defend the existence of UFOs in front of a packed audience. So it was a lot of fun.
That's the mark of a real intellectual, is when they make you, choose a side on an issue. Okay, now argue the opposite point and do it honestly.
Yeah. Well, he tried. It was funny. It was more funny than anything. But okay, so Adam Savage, is there anybody else that you're really excited about?
This year, it's weird because a lot of things like the BSG, the BSG crew shows up every year. I love going to see Richard Hatch, even though he's not. I enjoy his panels just because I enjoy the way he approaches things, and I enjoy going to see him every year. But since I've been doing this, I really have not. I'm stuck in my track room most of the weekend.
Cool. You said you had
that is. We know how that is. I do.
You said you had a track party. Is that what are you doing for your track party? Where is it at? Or do you
We're calling it the MMO Gathering of Heroes, and the theory behind it being, the whole premise of an MMO is you role play a character, you go around and act like that character and do heroic things. Well, there are so many MMOs, whether it's Star Trek, Star Wars, high fantasy, Lord of the Rings, pick something. And chances are, if you're wearing a costume, there's an MMO character, based on you out there somewhere. Superheroes, the whole nine yards. So we're kind of throwing an MMO gathering of heroes, getting, superheroes and stormtroopers and pirates and lions and tigers and bears, one room to have a party. And we just figured it was as good a reason as any. That's basically our theme, is come as your favorite hero.
What do you play currently, personally?
Right now, I have limited my MMO habit to World of Warcraft, which I think everybody and their grandmother plays who comes to the MMO track. Mm-hmm. And I've spent a lot of time playing Age of Conan, which is a game that Funcom developed some time ago that's really close to Robert E. Howard's literature on Conan. Think more books than movies.
Right. Cool. What do you think of the? I'm just asking because I have you here. What do you think of the current previews of the DC Universe Online stuff?
Funny you should mention that, because Sony is actually coming to Dragon Con, and they're going to show some trailers and do some giveaways and give away some beta codes for folks who want to get a sneak preview at DC Online. I'm excited to see it. I'm a little surprised that the superhero genre is as well represented as it is in the MMO space, because for years it was just City of Heroes and that's it.
Yeah, I played City of Heroes for a while too.
Yeah, well, now you got City of Heroes, you've got Champions Online, you've got DC Universe Online coming up. There's a Marvel MMO in the works. If you're into superheroes, you should definitely hang out at the MMO track. We've got plenty of stuff for the superhero crowd. Tried to get Stan Lee to do a panel on Marvel Online, but as you might imagine, his time was rather scarce.
Yes.
It's rather limited. It is rather limited with Stan, yeah, unfortunately. But, yeah, so when you're looking at how to put your track together, I am curious, how do you decide, okay, these are the things we always have to have, and then these are the things that are new or upcoming or new that are out, and I want to make sure we hit on some of those.
Well, last year we didn't discriminate. I mean, if somebody was willing to get up and talk about it, we were willing to have a panel on it. And once our schedule got up to 50 panels.
Yeah, that's a little problematic.
We decided that was a little much, but we tried it anyway last year. We had panels, we had running three wide at some point. We had two different track rooms running panels and an event in the ballroom going at the same time, and was total chaos. Mm-hmm. So at some point something had to give, and our simplest rule of thumb is if the developer of the studio wants to come down and talk about their game, we're happy to have them, and we'll make room for them, because they're coming down to Dragon Con on their own dime, and they want to talk about their game. It seems fair that we give them a forum to do that. Notable exception being World of Warcraft. We have not yet had any luck in getting Blizzard to come to Dragon Con, but we're still working on it. The downside of that is there's a major industry trade show called Penny Arcade Expo running in Seattle the same weekend as Dragon Con.
Yes.
So the thing we run into with every game developer we talk to is, we'd love to come to Dragon Con, but we're going to PAX. And I understand that. I mean, that's a press event. That's, you know, I understand they have to do what they have to do. But the folks who do come to Dragon Con and do manage to do both, we try to treat them as well as we possibly can, because they really are doing us a favor. But
look, and this is me speaking and less speaking. Obviously, none of this is officially Dragon Con's info, but or opinion or whatever. But the whole PAX thing kind of irks me a bit, because when they originally started doing it, and it's a bit of jealousy and a bit of anger, but when they first started with PAX, it was not on Labor Day weekend. It was, now granted, it grew immensely for them up there in Seattle, but then they moved it to Labor Day weekend, and it kind of just coincided with, obviously, with Dragon Con, and as a result has taken away some guests that would have normally come to Dragon Con that go there. Now, of course, they're not really a guest heavy event. They're more, as you said, more of a press event type thing. And it's all, you know, it's probably, of course, would injure your track more than anybody's, because that's what yeah. Penny Arcade is all about. But and I do love Penny Arcade. I think it's a hilarious webcomic. But the
I would totally go to PAX if it weren't the same weekend as Dragon Con.
There's my point.
I would totally go. The thing about it is, PAX filled a void on more than one front, because for years E3 was the big industry trade show, and a few years ago they got away from, well, we don't want to do a show for the masses. We want to do a show where companies can do press releases. And it was kind of a press and executive hob. They turned it into a press and executive hobnob event. Well, there really wasn't a fan event for gaming fans, for computer gaming fans. There just wasn't one, because we didn't really exist yet, and as our own track. And so Penny Arcade stepped up and created PAX. And it really filled a gap. And as long as it was a different weekend than Dragon Con, you know, there was room for both of us on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But now with both of us on the same weekend, you know, they emphasize, you know, press events and demos, and they have exhibitor floors with booths and tons of games, and you can demo this and demo that, and that's great. I love that. But that's not what we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a fan right. event. We don't want people hyping games that aren't coming out yet, which, you know, the question we get asked a lot is, why aren't you talking about, for example, Star Wars The Old Republic, which is coming out next year?
Mm-hmm.
It's not out yet. That's why we're not talking about it. When the game is out and it has fans, and the fans want to get together and meet each other and do that kind of thing, that's what Dragon Con's all about. That's when they kind of get on our radar. And we've made a really conscious effort to say, look, you can do PAX and Dragon Con if you're a gaming company, because you go there to issue your press releases and impress the critics and all that kind of stuff. You come here to hobnob with the fans.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you, a lot of these, the podcasts we've been doing have gone through that same kind of, we've talked about it, whether it's been with Comic-Con or with PAX or with other conventions, in that we're about the fans. And you said it a bit ago, and I've said it before, which is, you, as long as you're a geek, as long as you're, you know, a sci-fi fan, you're going to find something here. If you're into games, you're into comics, you're into whatever, you're going to find something to talk about and something to see at Dragon Con. And that's because we keep, you know, what do the attendees want to see, or what's going to be interesting for them? And I think all of us as directors and anybody working with the convention, that is our biggest goal every day. So, and you just kind of, you know, you're hitting it on the head there. There's nothing wrong with doing, and they're wonderful when you do the, media events and you do the, when the organizations are running it themselves. But when you talk about what are the fan, what's making the fans happy, and what are they talking about, and what's their interest, you're going to hit DragonCon, and it's just awesome. I mean, I did it last year. We did one panel on Warehouse 13, which was a show at that point, which only had about a handful of episodes out, and I had a packed room. And people were like, I didn't think you were going to talk about it yet. And I'm like, I'm loving it. So I'm talking about it because I'm loving it. So I was hoping I was going to, like, convert people. And they're like, no, we've already been watching it. Let's talk about it more. So that's really good. And I'm assuming that happens sometimes with your games, too. It's like something that's come out and you've started playing and you're all of a sudden talking about that, too.
Yeah, it's really strange because a lot of the most popular games that are out there don't do well at DragonCon. Like, World of Warcraft does great at DragonCon. 12 million players. Of course, we're going to pack the house at DragonCon with a game like that. But, for example, Lord of the Rings Online, which is a great game and it's doing really well, doesn't really have a big fan base. I mean, I think last year we got 30 people, maybe 40, in a panel. And it's not bad, but it definitely wasn't one of our bigger draws, even though the game itself was quite successful. But then you take a game like EverQuest, which has, you know, 11 years old now and is definitely on the downward slope of popularity, doesn't have nearly the subscriber base that a lot of these newer games have, but we'll pack 100 people in the room because a lot of the old school EQ players just want to get together and talk shop. You know, they don't care about the latest and greatest announcement. They just want to meet people who have the same experiences that they've had. And that's really what we're about. That's what we're trying to cater to.
All right, so I'm going to ask this question before John gets in because he likes to make fun of me at the end of this, but every time. But so how do you wrap it up? It's Monday, late afternoon. What are you doing to end MMO Track?
We have a panel. It's called the Post-MMortem. It's post-mortem spelled with an additional M. We basically we'll get Consuite to cater some food. We get the entire staff, all 12 of us in the room. Anybody who wants to come and give feedback, what we did right, what we did wrong, what they'd like to see, what they could do without. We really listen to our fans. You know, last year we had somebody come in and say, you know, I'd really like to get more information on kid-friendly games. Well, bam, yeah. The kid-friendly panel was born for this year because one of our fans suggested it last year. There's so many games.
I have to say, as a parent, that is thank you because it is tough. It's actually, I did this on Weekend Justice. I'm like, okay, he wants to read comics. Every comic I look at, I cannot allow him to read. So tell me what the comics are. And that's what you're coming as a parent. Going to the subject matter experts and going, okay, he's becoming a geek. He's playing D&D, but he wants something else. What else is out there? And that's why we're coming to you. So, yay, thanks for doing it. My husband will be there at 1 o'clock on Friday, even if the kidlet isn't.
That's why we're here. You know, I mean, for years, we're a three-year-old track. So when I say for years, think 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We were really wanted – at the time, we kind of really wanted to rival PAX. We wanted to have lots of demos and game companies to come in and promote their stuff and da-da-da-da-da-da. And sometime around last year's show, we just kind of realized, wait a minute, that's not who we are. You know, we're not in the corporate – excuse my French – butt-kissing business. You know, please come and promote your stuff and we'll pay you. That's not who we are. We're a place, you know, for fans, by fans. – So it makes a lot more sense to listen to them and give them what they want. And if they want something on kid-friendly stuff, you know, we're in a position to give that to them, and that's kind of nice. You know, I feel like we're making a difference, you know, for folks who are wanting to find information and can't. You know, that's my job.
Well, you're the place where EverQuest fans can still get together.
Yeah, exactly.
And they not have a whole lot. There might not – who knows what's going on at PAX for EverQuest, but you know and they know. They're going to be able to get together and find other EverQuest fans, so that's always good.
Well, I mean, and I'll use AQ Worlds as an example. I had never heard of Adventure Quest Worlds. I had never heard of Artix Entertainment. I didn't know anything about them. And they said, well, we'd like to come to Dragon Con and do a fan meet and greet. So where we can invite people to come check out our game and give out demos and whatnot. It's like, well, it's a mom and pop shop. I've never heard of them. And I was a columnist at Massively, and I'd never heard of these guys.
Right.
And, you know, which reflects bad on me in retrospect. But then I walked by the room, and there's 200 people crammed into this room having a blast. Voltaire walks by and decides to play a quickie little 10-minute set because he's a big fan. And my jaw dropped. I was like, whoa, you know, I don't know.
Wow.
And it was humbling, and that's what kind of – it's like I need to have a way for Dragon Con fans to come to me and say, I've got an idea to do X, whatever X might be. And if we've got time and room, we're going to give it a shot because – we might stumble into another event that turns out to be insanely popular.
So very cool.
Actually,
okay, John, your turn.
I did have one final question is, if you could have anybody, I'll give you three people, alive or dead, that you would like to see on your track, and, you know, they just kind of breeze right through the whole Dragon Con selection process, who would they be?
Well... some of them you'll have heard of, and some of them you won't. Richard Garriott, I would love to see come back to Dragon Con. I know he was there years ago, but I would love a chance to talk with him about game design because he was instrumental in Ultima, obviously, but he also did Tabula Rasa and some other games, and I think he has a real unique perspective on game design, and I'd like to pick his brain for a day.
I would just like to know what ever happened to Ultima Online 2, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, that too. That would be one of many questions. I would like to get Rob Pardo or any of the brain trust at Blizzard to come down to Dragon Con because I honestly believe that once we got him in the door, we'd keep have him coming back every year. And I'm a big fan. I'm a huge World of Warcraft addict, and I would love to get Blizzard involved with Dragon Con. That's my holy grail for my track is to get Blizzard involved with Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
I always use the Edward James Olmos example. You know, we got him at one con the next year. He was on the phone with us, even though he couldn't be there. Year after that, now he's coming back again. Come on, people. If we can get Edward James Olmos coming back every other year,
that's
come on.
Exactly,
I must say, I mean, we're a good con. Come on, try us out. Sorry.
Once we get you here, we'll keep you here.
We'll keep you.
Now, you know, the folks that I've talked to from Sony and other companies, they tell me, you know, we come to this convention on our own dime. We take vacation time. You know, we do whatever it takes to get out of working so that we can come to Dragon Con and represent our company because they have that much fun doing what they do at our show. And that's kind of the atmosphere we want to foster. To finish answering your question, who the third person is? Going totally off the reservation, I'd like to get a real honest-to-God sci-fi author, somebody like Heinlein, going alive or dead, and just getting to the bare bones about what it means to develop story. Because I think that's what makes MMOs so popular, is that in any game you play that's well-designed, there's a lore and a mythology and a history surrounding it. And you just kind of immerse yourself into that world. And I'd really like to talk to one of the masters of creating a world that you can dwell in, even if it's in your head or on a computer or whatever. I would like to get some insight into that.
Very cool. And I did not mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I was just trying to give you a way to plug it so you can try to get them to other people too. Because otherwise I'll forget because I'm old and tired, but I apologize.
Oh, no. We're birds of a feather on that score. I'd start wandering down one path and then look over here and go down another path and realize 10 minutes later I haven't answered the guy's question.
Well, what's funny today is all, you know, I was joking with some friends online and it was like, oh, look, shiny. Like, no, I got to stay focused. Dragon K, I got to get stuff done before. No, wait, shiny. Oh, let's go look at that. Yeah, because it's totally all over the place right now. But this has been very interesting. I can't wait. I'm going to get my kid to listen to this one because I think he will be very excited and he'll be like, there's stuff I can go and talk about this stuff with. I'm like, yes, let's go. So that'll be very cool. But thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem. Real quick, where can people get, I don't know if you have a Twitter account or not, that people can follow you on, or?
We have several.
Okay.
We're on Twitter. On Twitter, we're DCMMO.
Okay.
Which confuses people because they think it's the DC Comics MMO. But no, yeah. DCMMO, all one word. Our website is www.dc-mmo.org, which we kind of have a year-round blog where we throw out gaming news and tidbits of information and funny videos and pictures and whatever. We try to keep that going as a year-round community, so if people, you know, decide they have an idea for some game we should cover next year, they can drop us a line over there and we'll take a look at it.
Cool.
And then on Facebook, facebook.com/DragonConMMO, all one word. We have a Facebook page, and we try to update that as often as we can, but the website's probably our primary mode of communication these days.
Cool. And as usual, I will post these in the post that this podcast is attached to. You also said you have a podcast you normally do. Is that right?
We do. It's called the Snarkcast. Okay. And we're on iTunes. Just look for Snarkcast, and you'll see DCMMO plastered all over it. We also have a link to it off of the DCMMO website. And it's basically Crystal, who's one of my assistants, and I just kind of doing a snarky weekend update style, any news of the weird kind of thing in the MMO business. Everything's fair game. It's a little ruder and cruder, and there's at times some not safe for work language, but we just kind of throw it out there as a, you can get politically correct news anywhere, but if you want the real deal, come to the Snarkcast.
All right, cool.
Well, and that's why Guy created headphones, for that not safe for work language.
I'm not going to put the blame on my co-host for this one. It's pretty much me. I have a mouth like a stupid door.
Oh, me too. Me too. We're all right with that. It happens. Well, this has been great. So thank you so much. And this is awesome.
All right, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And I have one announcement for you, John, which I swore I wasn't going to do something, but I did it. So I had to tell you.
Okay.
I created an X-Track Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I did. So it's DCon_X-Track. We will do our best to update it, but also hashtag us, please, if you're in a panel and liking it, because I want to see it. But DCon_X-Track, and that's, you know, I do it as DCon just together because I'm old and that's what I remember doing. So, but I did it. So, yay!
All right. Cool.
I'm tooting my old horn on that one, so I have to do it.
That is awesome. So you did get some staff to help you out?
No, not at all. It's probably going to be on me. Although I'm going to give them the password, and hopefully I'll make them do it too.
They seem to be complaining when I was going pro for the.
they were all thrilled with your ideas for pro reason. But I'm going to be at the cool kids table now because we have a DragonCon Twitter, so a DragonCon X-Track Twitter. Awesome. Blah, 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 blah. I can get it out.
All right, Kevin.
Three days, Kevin.
I might make it that far.
Well, we'll do it. It's like 3 days, and then it's like 7 days. 7 days. 7 days, man.
And by Tuesday, it'll be 364 days. The cycle never ends.
Yeah, it really will. Yeah, never ends. I'll already be, you know, just like you said, we're all, you know, thinking about what we're doing next year now. And I don't know anybody who hasn't already saying, you know, oh, wow, I really wish I could have done this.
Well, I will say this, but one of the things we're doing for folks who want their favorite game company to show up, whether you're Blizzard or City of Heroes or whoever, last year, some fans of a game called Kingdom of Loathing brought a bedsheet and set it up at their fan table. And they just said, if you want the Kingdom of Loathing developers to come to Dragon Con, sign this bedsheet. And several hundred signatures later, they mailed the bedsheet off to the developers of Kingdom of Loathing. Devs got the message, and they're coming this year.
Yeah, they're actually
awesome.
They're having a party too, aren't they?
A big party Sunday night. So they're a unique crew, man. I love those guys, and it's going to be one of the better events of the weekend, I think. Probably the best event that doesn't get mainstream press coverage.
Very cool.
But
where is that event going to be? Do you know?
That is going to be in our track room, actually, the Sheraton, the Savannah room, which might hold the number of people we're expecting. It might not. last year it barely held the number of people that showed up, but we were very, very pleasantly surprised But I'll tell anybody, if you want your favorite game to show up, bring a bed sheet and a Sharpie. It works.
Have you tried that with Blizzard yet?
I know one year somebody also bought a Dragon Con shirt and had like a gold or a silver Sharpie and had people sign it so they could send it off to somebody and say, we really want you here. Look, we're giving you this. Come.
Oh, absolutely. Cool. It's the fans have some great the City Heroes fans in particular start riots on their message boards and forums saying, you know, come to Dragon Con, come to Dragon Con. And we deal with these game companies all year long and they want to come, but we're up against a major trade show that weekend, so it gets difficult.
All right.
I'll stop complaining about those guys now.
That's all right.
Well,
all right.
Well, thank you.
Okay, as we end, remember, Thursday, when you get there, after you get your badge, before you start partying, go, give blood. Give blood. I can't say give often, but give blood.
Plus, you know, the first couple of drinks will get you, after giving blood, will get you knocked, right? No, don't do that. I'm just kidding.
It does make you a cheap date for the weekend, because a little bit goes a long way.
Yep. All right.
Give blood, then go to Dairy Queen and have a burger. All right.
Speaking of blood drive, if you're an MMO player, we as part of the paperwork that you're going to be filling out when you go to the blood drive, there's a little questionnaire saying what MMOs do you play? For instance, last year we did the World of Warcraft Horde versus Alliance blood drive and sent the results off to Blizzard, and they were very interested in the fact that we had over 2,000 pints of blood donated last year, and most of them were World of Warcraft players. Be on the lookout for that survey and do us a favor and fill it out, and we'll make sure that the powers that be at those respective games know that our fans care and do their part.
Cool. That's very cool. And maybe one day we'll get Blizzard to come here.
Working on it.
Yeah.
Always working on it.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us. I said I had a brief moment there where I was wondering, did I have your name right? But yes, it's Kevin. Kevin of the MMO Track. And the room number again?
It's in the Savannah room at the Sheraton, which is on the main floor, the lobby level of the Sheraton.
Cool. All right. Well, again, for Lee and the rest of the Unique Geeks, until Dragon Con, which is only a couple of days away, peace.
Oh, my God.
TikTok.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.